Hi, and welcome to Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. My name is Fee Sullivan, Senior Pastor, and I truly want to thank you for joining us today as we study the Word of God. It is our desire that your life be touched today, and we pray that the Lord will speak to you with this message. And at the conclusion of this message, we have some important information for you. Please join me now as we begin our message.
Did you bring your Bibles? Turn with me to the book of Mark, chapter 3, and we're going to read together verses 13 through 19, and then we're going to have the Lord have his way tonight. Amen? And so allow me to go before the throne room of grace. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we thank you for your goodness. We thank you for your grace. We thank you for your mercy. Lord, we're asking now, God, that you would give us ears to hear and eyes to see what the Spirit is saying to the church. And we bless you and praise you in Jesus' name. I've entitled this evening's message, Has Jesus Called You? Has Jesus Called You? And so we're going to see as we continue. By the way, Wednesday night is book, chapter, and verse. And so this is where we have an opportunity to go line by line, verse by verse. Amen? Sunday morning, you know, it's a topical message, but it's led by the Holy Ghost. But tonight, I did some study, and God showed me some things that we need to bring forth, amen, through God's word, because it's his word, not ours, amen? And so let's read together verses 13 through 19, and then I believe God is going to illuminate our understanding, amen? So let's read. And he went up on the mountain and called to him those he himself wanted, and they came, what? To him. Verse 14. Then he appointed 12 that they might be with him and that he might send them out to what? To go have a picnic? To what? To preach and to have power to heal sicknesses and to cast out demons. We just sang that song right now, didn't we, regarding this? Verse 16, Simon, to whom he gave the name Peter. Verse 17 and 18, it says, James, the son of Zebedee, and John, the brother of James, to whom he gave the name Boanerges, that is, sons of thunder. And then verse 18 and 19, Andrew, Philip, Bartholomew, Matthew, Thomas, James, the son of Alphaeus, Thaddeus, Simon, the Canaanite, and Judas. Oh, Judas, please, I hope none of you named your kid Judas, right? Amen. Judas Iscariot, who was also betrayed, and they went into a house. So let's look back now at verse 13. And he went up on the mountain, and he called to him those he himself wanted, and they came to him. Now, we're going to see that it's only the Lord that can give us ears to hear and eyes to see. You got to remember, these men were dead spiritually. But when God calls you, he quickens you. He's the one that initiates the engagement with you. He engages with you. Can I get an amen? Amen. How many can remember when you were walking in darkness and people used to preach, people used to sow, people used to testify, and yet you didn't have no ears to hear? Matter of fact, you mocked them. Matter of fact, all you did was ridicule them. And then one day, say that with me, one day, Jesus woke you from your sleep. Yes, he did. So saints, Jesus left the shore of the Sea of Galilee. He went up on a mountain, probably referring to the hill and the countryside in the Galilees. By the grace of God, we were there in April. And what a beautiful place, amen? The Sea of Galilee. And Luke records that Jesus prayed to God all night. Something about prayer. And this is why God quickened me to share with Brother Hidalgo when he comes. Is the way he's going to win is not by boots on the ground. It's not going to be how many campaign stickers. It's going to be through prayer and fasting. Can I get an amen? And so he prayed all night. But we also see that Luke describes this. He even clarifies that it was all night. When's the last time you had an all-night prayer meeting? You know, when I used to attend North Park Apostolic Church, we would have an all-night prayer meeting. We would start at 6 in the evening, and we would go home the following morning at 7 o'clock. All night praying, praying until the Holy Ghost came and met us. Oh, my gosh. These were meetings, man, I'm telling you. They were awesome. But look what Luke says. Now, it came to pass in those days that he went out to the mountain to pray and continued all night in prayer. Well, to who? To God. He prayed. And when it was day, he called his disciples to himself. And from them, he chose 12, whom he also named apostles. So something about his selection, and we're going to look at it a little further. Because let me just say this. He chose you and I. But you know as well as I, we had nothing to bring to the table. Can I get an amen? What was it that he saw in us? Okay, now, this is not a time to say, well, I was a good person. Well, you know, I did this, and, I didn't hang out with those, you know, that started trouble in school. You know, I was a good moral person. He didn't see that. He chose not to see that. We're going to see just in a few minutes one of the characteristics that he saw in you and I, okay? Because the Word of God will identify what he saw in us. Can I get amen? Amen? So Jesus did not take volunteers. If he took volunteers, well, you know what? Then we probably wouldn't be here today, because something about those he chose had something inside that no one could see it. But God. Only God could see those things. And so he didn't take any volunteers. He chose and he called those he wanted. Jesus wanted these men, so he called them and they came to him. And they did not hesitate to do one thing that was so crucial with these 12. Is they chose to obey. They chose to obey. Look what it says here in John. Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for his friends. He says to you and I, you are my friends if you do whatever I command you. So when he called them, there was something about them that what he saw that no one else could see. Listen, you and I standing here tonight or sitting down, God saw something in us that you and I couldn't see. Even back in our BC years. It says, no longer do I call you servants, for a servant does not know what his master is doing, but I have called you friends, for all things that I've heard from my Father, I have made what known to you. Now, here's the key. You know, there's a lot of wonderful religious organizations throughout our land. And, you know, they believe that, well, you know, I gave my heart to Jesus that day, or I came that day to be saved. Let me just say this, and let's clarify the matter right here in the next verse. He says, you did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit. God has called us. We didn't call him. Matter of fact, before I came into the saving knowledge, I was up to no good. I had $500 of crystal meth in my sock at the age of 30. I wasn't looking for God, but there was something that he saw, something that he saw in you, something that I couldn't see for my own eyes, because I didn't have ears to hear and eyes to see. Look at this. And that your fruit should what remain, that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give you. These things I command you, that you love one another. So one of the things that he did that we could not say, well, this is why he saved me. A lot of us didn't know how to love. Can I get amen? But until the Holy Ghost came, he poured into our hearts love from above. He poured in agape love. It was an essential type of love. It was a supernatural kind of love. And he quickened us. Can I get an amen? Now, one of the things that when he chose the 12, no differently than how he chose you and I, he saw what would happen. He says, the world hates you. You know that it hated me before it hated you. How many of you can honestly say, because you're standing for Christ, there are some folks that just don't get along with you? And when your back is turned, it's bleepity, bleepity, bleep. Oh, yeah. Why? It's not, don't take it personal. It's Christ in you who they hate. It's not a personal thing. It's a relational thing. You have a relationship with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Can I get an amen? Amen. And when they see that your faith cannot be moved, jealousy rises up within them. Why? Because they don't know how to love like God loves us. And then God enables us to love them back. Look at this. Yet because you are not of the world, but look, oh, check this. But I chose you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. Listen, as a born-again believer, spirit-filled, baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, if everyone around your life loves you and don't have a confrontation with you, something's out of order. Because Jesus said right here, the world will hate you because they hated me. And so it's just the way the gospel works. And so let's go back now to verse 14 and 15 in Mark chapter 3. It says, then he appointed 12 that they might be with him and that he might send them out to what? To preach. My brother and I, we call each other preacher. Evangelist Felipe Reyes, we call each other preacher. Why? Because we're not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. For it's the power of God unto salvation. Hallelujah. Can I get an amen? We're called to what? Preach. Look at this. That he might send them out to preach and to have power to heal sicknesses and to cast out demons. Saying Jesus had many disciples, learners, but he selected what? 12 of them to be his regular companions, calling them apostles, meaning messengers, the sent out ones. That's what an apostle is. It's not no big giant title. An apostle, they've been sent out. Can I get an amen? And the apostles were Jesus' inner circle. And that's the place to be, especially in prayer, to be close to him. Can I get an amen? To be close to the Lord. Because the closer you get to the Lord, you'll start to hear his heartbeat. How many want to hear his heartbeat? Draw close to him. Draw close to him. Get the world out. Get the junk out. Hallelujah. And let God arise in you. Can I get an amen? Amen. And so the apostles were Jesus' inner circle. He gave them special training. And he sent them out in his own authority. Did you know that God, because he handpicked you, he's training you right now. Hallelujah. No one taught you how to worship. The Holy Ghost living inside compelled you to worship. Can I get an amen? It is God all by himself working mightily in your life. Can I get an amen? And so from the hundreds of people who followed Jesus from place to place, he especially selected these 12 to receive the most intense training. And we see the impact of these men throughout the rest of the New Testament. And many of them were martyred. Yeah, they didn't retire and bank on their 401k. They walked in faith. They believed God. So the choice of the 12 men is highly symbolic. Why was there 12? Because there were 12 tribes of Israel. There were 12 tribes. The number 12 corresponds to the 12 tribes of Israel, showing that they would continue, hallelujah, through the word of God, who all of them represented. Did you know every tribe represented the word of God? And they, till this day, they stand as a witness. Can I get an amen? And so Jesus looked upon this gathering of the true people of God. Look what it says right here, just to back up what I'm saying. It's found in Matthew. It says, so Jesus said to them, assuredly I say to you that in the regeneration, the Son of Man sits on the throne of his glory. You who have followed me will also sit on 12 thrones. Did you check that out? Did you catch that? 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. Wow. That's why he picked 12. Each one of them is going to judge the tribes. Look at that. And everyone who has left houses or brothers or sisters or father or mother or wife or children or lands for my name's sake shall receive 100-fold and inherit eternal life. But many who are first will be last and the last first. Let me just say this. When God saves you, it doesn't matter anymore who's with you or who's against you. Can I get an amen? It don't matter anymore. Your parents could forsake you. Your brothers and sisters could forsake you. Your sphere of influence could forsake you. But hallelujah, all you need to do is say, it's okay. I can't take you with me anyways. This is a personal relationship. Can I get an amen? No one can go with you. No one could hold on to your coattail and take me with you. This is why he says that many of us saved now. There are people that we just have to cut off. There's some people that you just have to cut loose. You know, I'm sorry, but I love the Lord Jesus Christ, and all you do is mock him. You live a life of debauchery. You won't come out of sin. I can't be there no more. I got to be around like-minded souls. Can I get amen? That love the Lord, that have the one mind. Hallelujah. That's toward the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we have a different mindset now as a believer. And so saints, these men were the righteous remnant who would carry on the work. The 12 tribes were chosen to build the community of God. And that's what they did. Everywhere where they went, they preached the word. Souls, hallelujah, were being convicted. Souls were being saved. They were always, hallelujah, after they confessed, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for the remissions of sins. It's throughout the book of Acts. So, saints, Jesus did not choose these 12 to be his disciples because of their faith. It often faltered. How many, listen, if it was contingent upon their faith, guess what? You and I would be in the same boat. How many times have you lost faith in certain situations in life? And yet God said, I'm here to pick you up. I'm here to encourage you. Oh, come on. Every one of us are going to have moments of despair, even as a child of God. Even as a child of God. But this is why you need to know he will never leave you nor forsake you. He will always be with you until he comes back for you. Listen, he deposited his spirit within you. That's the guarantee that he's coming back for you. Praise God. We serve a mighty God. But saints, there was something that you and I, as I shared earlier, that you and I could not figure this out. At least I couldn't. When I got saved, and I was filled with so much joy and testifying how he delivered me, I used to think, man, what did I do to earn this great salvation? And so we look at some of the words we use. Well, he had mercy. He had grace. And yes, all those words do attribute to our call, that he did have mercy. He did have grace. And we did have faith to believe. But do you know that faith came from him? But there's something else that when I was studying for this, God quickened me on my chair and said, wait a minute, Lord, there's nothing that you and that I know I could proclaim to be righteous. Man, I was living in steep darkness. What was it, God? And so he sees something that you and I cannot see. And it's almost like it's hidden from us. And I cannot say this to unbelievers that eventually that he will see that too. But let me show you through the word of God of what I'm talking about. How many of you remember when Saul, King Saul, back in the Old Testament, how many remember when he basically disobeyed God? And God said, man, I regret the day that I had to anoint you as king. Because he would always, what? disobey God, and he would always do the opposite of what God told him to do. So God had to raise up someone else. And so the prophet came looking for the next anointed one. But there was something, because David had a whole he had many brothers. Some of them, man, were mighty men. Some of them were yoked out. You know, they were men of war. They were buffed out. But the prophet came and looked at every one of them, because God said, go to that house because I have anointed one there. So let's look at 1 Samuel just real quickly here. Look at this. So it was when they came that he looked at Eliab and said, surely the Lord's anointed is before him. This is his brother, King David's brother. He probably was, what, maybe 6'5", you know, and just, man, yoked. And they all, the whole household said, it's got to be him. It's him. He's a man of war. Look at this. But the Lord said to Samuel, do not look at his appearance or at the height of his stature, because I have refused him. What? There's some folks that God just passes by. He'll look at someone's life and says, That's what the word said. He said, do not look at his appearance or at the height of his stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord does not see a man as he sees. You and I, we may have a whole preconceived idea. And we're looking at situations of life like, okay, this is how God is going to work it out. And he comes a whole different way. You got to remember, his thoughts are higher than ours. And our heart is deceitful above all, desperately wicked. And so he says, I have refused him, for the Lord does not see as man sees. For man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the what? The heart. And so when he came, and he came to us, he looked at our hearts. That's the one I want. 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 We don't have that x-ray vision. None of us can proclaim to be Superman with the x-ray vision. But God sees all things. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
And so, here's what he saw in us. Because the Word of God proclaims this. Something that you and I could not see, even in our BC years before Christ. And now after Christ, we have to ask, oh God, what is it? What was it that I was so special above my brother? I got 11 brothers and sisters. There's only 3 that serve the Lord. The rest of them don't. And so I'm not greater than them. But why, God? Why, Lord? Right here in Acts 13, look at this. And when he had removed him, he raised up for them David as king, to whom also he gave testimony and said, I have found David, the son of Jesse, a man after my own heart. So God saw that when he saved you, you will have a heart after him. Did you catch that? Something that you and I couldn't see. But he saw it. He saw that once he called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, that your heart would be now inclined to him. Wow. This is a revelation to a lot of folks, because there's nothing we can do to get favor from God. He made a selection. He made a choice. It's called a sovereign choice he made. And there was nothing we did. But he saw something down past the day that we got saved, that you and I, we're seated in heavenly places right now. Can I get amen? Come on. I remember Wednesday nights, 8 o'clock, back in the day, I was just starting to take a shower to go hit the Black Angus or something. I was out there, man, waiting to go party and come back home around 4 in the morning. But God changed all that, didn't he? He saw something. He saw that when I called you, you will praise me. You will glorify me. You will magnify me. Hallelujah. You will go and preach. You will go and teach. He saw that and we couldn't see it. We were blind to self. And there are some folks, they will never, never do the things you and I are doing. This is why he walks right by them. He walks right by them. So just remember, you continue to pray for the lost. That's our duty, is keep praying, keep sowing. We don't know when the day he will quicken them and make them come alive. That's not our job to figure out. Tonight, God is just showing us why and what he saw in us that we couldn't see. And the proof is you're here tonight to worship and praise him and to glorify and to be the word. And to be, that's the proof. That's the witness. The witness is inside. Hallelujah. Aren't you so blessed you didn't learn this in your senior year? And maybe are still remembering it and now you're applying it finally? No. This is a supernatural thing. Only God can do this. So saints, the apostles remained with Jesus for the purpose of being trained and raised up so that Jesus could send them out as ambassadors. Did you know that we are ambassadors? Yes. Hallelujah. So just remember, even at a young age, even at 16, 17, just got filled with the Holy Ghost, brand new, brother and sister in Christ, you're called to be an ambassador. Can I get an amen? You're an ambassador. And so ambassadors and representatives of the kingdom of God, there's one main benefactor that God has given us, the ability to go and preach. Saints, the apostles, they knew the message of the good news of salvation. They were to proclaim that message publicly and with the authority given to them by Christ himself. Did you know that God has empowered you to do it? You're not there on your own strength. I hope you know that. The power was given to the disciples by Jesus himself. It was delegated authority. The disciples could speak the word and God's power would cast out demons. Listen, when you connect with God, this is what the book of Acts says right here. But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you shall be witnesses. You know, you got to ask yourself, what is compelling me to witness? What's compelling me to testify? What's compelling me to go pray for the sick and watch God heal them? What's compelling that? It's the power of God. Hallelujah. The Holy Spirit that has come upon you. Thank you, God. You're not there with your own strength, with your own understanding. Matter of fact, back in the day, before I got saved, I would want nothing to do with the things of God. People used to always come try to witness to me, and I would tell them where to go. But now I can look back to look at today that it was God's mercy and grace. Hallelujah, that he did for us, for you and I. And he saw that you would be a worshiper, that you would love him, that you would glorify him, that you would magnify. He saw what you didn't see. Come on, when you leave here, just know that. When you drive home, oh God, these were things that were hidden to me. But you saw it. Aren't you so blessed that we cannot be inspectors? Oh, yeah, you're saved. Oh, no, you're not one. No, God only sees it. God only sees it. So you will be what? Witnesses to me in Jerusalem, in Judea, Samaria, and to the end of the earth. Praise God. So now we're going to shift into a type of genealogies, meaning the names of the apostles and those who he called and why he gave certain ones names and everything. So let's look at now verse 6. Simon, to whom he gave the name, what? Peter. Saints, the first name recorded was Simon, whom Jesus renamed Peter. And we see this in the book of John, right up here. John 1:42, it says, and he brought to him what? Jesus, whom when Jesus looked at him, said, you are Simon, son of Jonah. You shall be called Cephas, or Cephas, which is translated a stone. You see, Peter was the stone. Can I get an amen? Amen. Jesus ended up telling him that you, hallelujah, will initiate the church. And who was the one that came down from the upper room? Who? Who was the one? Okay, let me just take you back. Who was the one who was a scaredy cat and denied Jesus? Peter. Why would he call him a stone? And let me just say this. He wasn't smoking a hookah and getting stoned that way. Yes. God said that he was going to be a stone. Why? You got to remember, even back in our day, before we got saved, I just shared with you, I want nothing to do with Christ. Well, this guy denied Jesus. Why? Because he was powerless at the time. So when Jesus ascended, and as he was ascending up, what did he say? He said, go and wait for the what? Promise. What was the promise? The Holy Ghost to come. Hallelujah. Aren't you so blessed that he just said, well, you know, just go and wait and go have a party on the day of Pentecost and just remember me. Man, there are some things you did yesterday you forgot already. We needed a witness. And what was that witness? The Holy Ghost. And so when the Holy Ghost was poured out on the day of Pentecost, who's the one that came down and preached his first message? It was Peter. That's why he said, you would be a stone, a rock, and I will build my church on that rock. Can I get an amen? On that stone. And so when the Holy Ghost came, they were filled with the Holy Ghost, speaking in tongues as the Spirit of God gave utterance. And it was only 9 o'clock in the morning. And the people, notice God had an appointed time when the Holy Ghost was poured out. As we've been learning the feast, he poured out the Holy Ghost on the feast of what? Pentecost. It was purposely poured out on that day. Why? Because that's when millions of all pilgrims come to Jerusalem to celebrate the feast. So God picked that day to pour out the Holy Ghost. Why? Because they heard them. When the Holy Ghost came, they were filled with the Holy Ghost, speaking in tongues as the Spirit of God gave them utterance. And it was like cloven, like fire that sat on them. And people down below thought they were drunk. Sorry, the pubs weren't open then. It was 9 o'clock. And so they were saying, man, what kind of wine are they drinking up there? So Peter, he had to come down and say, excuse me, we're not no wine bibbers. The wine that you are inquiring about is the Holy Ghost. And he had to come. He had to tell them, listen, this is the promise that Jesus said that would take place. And he had to convict them. He had to say, it was all of you who put the Lord Jesus on the cross. And as he was preaching, the conviction came. How many are so blessed that God had to convict us? Did you know we just didn't come? No, man, I remember when I came to the cross, I was weeping. This is what he does. When he calls you to be saved, he gives you ears to hear and eyes to see. He allows you to see your sin. He's the one that opens up your eyes and you see your sin and you run to the cross. You immediately run to the cross. And so as he was preaching, God was quickening them. He was giving them ears to hear and eyes to see. And then he brought it. Because they all said, they were all there with standing in conviction. What shall we do? What shall we do? He said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for the remissions of sins. And you shall what? Receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you and to your children and to all afar off, as many as the Lord God will call. And so on that day, 3,000 souls were saved on the preaching of the word. This is why God has called you and I to preach the word in season, out of season. Can I get an amen? Amen. Don't be ashamed of the gospel. Don't be ashamed to open your mouth. Stand for truth. Stand for light. Can I get an amen? Because the Bible has called us to be light and salt. Don't be afraid. You know what? I remember what evangelist Felipe Reyes told me. He said God showed him something when he started going from Indonesia to the Philippines. He would go and preach on these big stages. You know what he told me? He goes, I don't look at faces. He goes, I just look out. He goes, I don't look at faces. Because they'll distract you. He goes, just preach the word with power and anointing and let the Spirit fall and have its way. Hallelujah. There's going to be people in your life that they're going to disagree with you. I don't care what you say. And they could be blue in the face, and they're not moving until God moves on them. But God has called us. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. So Jesus gave him a name in addition to the one he already had. He was Peter, right? Cephas. And so Peter is the Greek equivalent of the Aramaic Cephas, a word meaning stone or rock. Peter had been a fisherman. He became one of the three in Jesus' core group among the disciples. He also confessed that Jesus was the Messiah. Praise God. Only God could get that revelation. Can I get an amen? And all those saints Peter would deny, as I shared, knowing that Jesus died and rose again, he would eventually be the one leading that church in Jerusalem. Remember, you got to remember, it was not too long ago during this time where he denied Jesus three times. So what was the evidence? What was the empowerment? It was the Holy Ghost. It was the Holy Ghost. And so just remember, before you go out and do a work for the Lord, before whatever you do, pray and ask God to empower you. Can I get amen? That God will speak through you, no matter where you go, no matter what you do, that the Holy Ghost, hallelujah, will be welled up in you. And when you open your mouth, let the Spirit of God come forth. Can I get amen? And don't worry who will agree with you or disagree with you. It's not about, am I there to please anyone? It's about you and God and doing what God has called you to do, to preach. Can I get amen? This is what this world needs today. Can I get amen? Amen. This nation needs preachers now. That's right. And let me just say this. Because the pulpits around this country have been silent, God is opening up now political doors so that men and women that have been raised up in faith can now go speak to the masses. Can I get amen? Because the church is silent. They're asleep at the wheel. They won't talk about revelation. They won't talk about end times. They won't talk about the second coming. They don't believe. They think, oh, God's not going to come for another 1,000 years. Oh, yeah? You better read your word again. Can I get amen? Because Matthew and Revelation and Daniel all points to the day that we're living. Zechariah, Jesus said when he comes, he's going to put his feet on the Mount of Olives. But when he does that, he would have already taken away his bride. You know why? Because as I shared a couple of weeks ago, he has hid us from the day of indignation. Aren't you so blessed? Look at it like this. When the great tribulation comes, listen, if I'm going to be married, let's just say I was single and I'm going to be married to a beautiful wife, why would I let her go get beat up first and then come to the altar with all kinds of black eyes and busted lips and stuff like that? Why? It wouldn't make no sense, would it? This is why he's going to take us out of the way when he pours out his wrath of judgment on this earth. He's going to hide his bride in the pavilion. Man, I'm telling you, when you get a hold of that, that's a revelation. He's going to take us out of the way. Why? Because he loves his church. He loves the bride. Can I get an amen? And he is our bridegroom. Hallelujah. This is why it's important to repent and be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for the remissions of sins. Why? So that you can identify who your husband is. Can I get an amen? Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God. Thank you, Lord. Those of you who are married, doesn't your wife have your name? Or is this, oh, this is my wife. That's it. What's her name? My wife. You got a name? Yeah. See, my wife. That's it? No. She got a name. And hopefully she took your name. Can I get an amen? My honeydew has my name. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. Better have the name. Can I get an amen? There's only one name given among men that whereby we must be saved. And that name is the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. Thank you, Lord. So let's look at verse 17 now. It says, James, the son of Zebedee, and John, the brother of James, to whom he gave the name Boanerges, or Boanerges. That's a tough one. Boanerges, that's what it is. That is the sons of thunder. Why did he call them the sons of thunder? Huh? See, James and John also had been fishermen. And James would become the first martyr. James, he was the first martyr. You know, he gave it up. He says, go ahead, take. If I'm going to die, I'm going to die for the cause of Christ. Amen? And praise God. You never know when you will have to confess the Lord Jesus Christ to someone. Can I get amen? Amen. We're never to be ashamed, right? But look at that. In Acts 12, 1 and 2, it says, now about the time Herod the king stretched out his hand to harass, look at that, harass some of the church, then he killed James, the brother of John, with the sword. Wow. This is James, the son of Zebedee. Saints, John would write the gospel of John. And I believe it was the providence of God that God didn't allow John at that time during persecution to be killed, because he had things still to write. He still needed to write the epistles of John, and then the book of John, first book of John, second book of John, third book of John, and then he had to write Revelation. So it was the providence of God. And guess what? We're still around. Because we are, hallelujah, hallelujah, writing the things of God. Can I get amen? When people look at your life, man, they should see you as an open book. Can I get amen? What God is doing in your life, they're reading you. I hope you know that. People are reading you. This is why. Stay close to the Lord. Hallelujah. Don't get caught in things that you shouldn't get caught in. Can I get amen? Because people are looking at your life. And God is writing your story right before the unbelievers. Saying scripture gives glimpses of these men, revealing that they were somewhat short-tempered and judgmental. And so what he called them the sons of Zebedee, or sons of thunder. Why? Because, let me ask you this. Has anyone ever done you wrong before? No. As a saved brother and sister? Yeah. Has anyone come across you and confronted you on certain issues in life? Yeah. And as a saved child of God, you are to, what, stay humble the best way you know how, right? Yeah. This is why the scripture says, vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. Okay? We're not to take things in our own hands. Can I get amen? No matter how much it hurts, no matter how much, oh my gosh, Lord, strike them with a lightning bolt. Oh, you never been in that predicament? Well, they were called the sons of thunder because of this story right here. Look at this. It's found in Luke. Now it came to pass when the time had come for him to be received up that he steadfastly set his face to go to Jerusalem. Meaning this is before Jesus was going to be crucified on the cross. And he sent messengers before his face, and they went and they entered a village of the Samaritans to prepare for him. Okay, so remember Jesus said, I must go through Samaria. Aren't you so blessed? Because they weren't 100% Jews. They were half Gentile and Jew. And the Jews detested them. We're not going over there. If you back then in that day, if you weren't a Jew, you were considered a dog. And so, but verse 53, but they did not receive him. Meaning they said, they need to prepare a place because we're coming there and we sent word. So prepare a place because Jesus is coming in that village in Samaria. Look at this. But because his face was set for the journey to Jerusalem. And when his disciples, James and John, saw this, they said, Lord, do you want us to command fire to come down from heaven and consume them just as Elijah did? Did you see their mindset? Man, let's just destroy them. God is saying something tonight. Some of you might be going through something or about to enter something. You may even be falsely accused. How are you going to handle it? Lord, fire and brimstone on their head. That's what they said. Lord, do you want us to command fire to come down from heaven and consume them? Just as Elijah did. Jesus had to put them in place. Look at this. But he turned and he rebuked them and said, you do not know what manner of spirit you are. For the Son of Man did not come to destroy men's lives, but to save them. And they went to another village. They said, that's okay. They don't have to receive it. We'll go to another village. But you got your hope. You got your mind in the gutter. You want to kill them. I came to save them. How many saved brothers and sisters before you gave your heart to Christ probably wanted you destroyed? I know the people at Western Lumber hated my guts because I used to mock the Christians. I shared this one testimony. I parked far from the lumber yard on lunchtime, and I parked way, I'm going to say a good block and a half away just to be alone because I wanted to roll up the windows and hit my bong and get smoked out. And then it was like a Cheech and Chong scene. And I heard someone knocking on my car door window. And I said, who is this? I'm so far away from everyone. First, I'm thinking, man, it's the cops. I rolled down the window and all the contact came out. And there was a short little guy named Jose Tejeda. Did you know that Jesus loves you? And he gave me a track. He goes, God can save you from this life. I was so mad. Here I'm thinking it's the cops. And this guy's telling me about Jesus. I grabbed his track, I ripped it up, I threw it at his feet, and this is what I told him. You come and witness to me one more time, and I'm going to knock you out. Yeah, I did. But you know why I could never touch that man? Because the anointing of God was upon him. The glory of God was upon him. The Spirit of God was upon him, and he had a shield around him that I could not touch. And even though I cursed him and I mocked him, he was there. Jesus loves you. You don't know how bad I wanted to slap him upside his head. And so it's sometimes it's no different when we get saved. That's what these two characters did. Let's consume them. Let's just fire brimstone on them because they won't open up a door for you, Lord. Watch yourself. Watch yourself. Watch yourself. Stay humble. Can I get amen? Sometimes you got to bite your own tongue, even though it hurts. I'd rather bite my tongue and walk away than to get in someone's grill. We have a different nature now, don't we? We got a witness now living inside us. We got the Spirit of God, hallelujah, that came to redeem us, who purchased us at the cross, who shed his blood for you and I. So we have to have a whole different heart now. And guess what? If we do what James and John did, you could rest assured Jesus will rebuke you. Nothing's changed. And so Jesus gave them the appropriate name, Sons of Thunder. They just wanted to come and mow them down. Let's look at these last two verses before we close tonight. Andrew, Philip, Bartholomew, Matthew, Thomas, James, the son of Alphaeus, Thaddeus, Simon the Canaanite. Not Simon Peter, but another Simon. Oh, and there's that word. Judas Iscariot, who also betrayed him, and they went into a house. Saints, Andrew was Peter's brother, also a fisherman, and Andrew had been a disciple of John the Baptist. He left John to follow Jesus and then brought this brother, Simon Peter, to Jesus. Philip was the fourth to meet Jesus, praise God. And so Philip probably knew Andrew and Peter because they were from the same town of Bethsaida. It's mentioned here. Now, Philip was from Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. So all of them were linked together, just like your life. Did you know that? There's people in the sphere of your influence that only you can reach. These guys that were bringing them to Jesus because they were part of their life. Listen, there's people in your life I'll never meet in my whole life and vice versa. But God has given you that sphere of influence to bring them to Jesus. Can I get amen? And so Philip then brought Bartholomew, also called Nathanael, as recorded in John. Look at this. It says right here, Philip found Nathanael, who is Bartholomew, and said to him, "We have found him of whom Moses and the law and also the prophets wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph." And Nathanael said to him, "Can anything good come out of Nazareth?" Ask yourself this. Could anything good come out of National City? What hood did you come up from? Huh? What was the name of your neighborhood? I was... tease Brother Allie, he's not here. You know, he grew up in Paradise Hills. I said, "God went to Piace to find you." That was back in the day, huh? Listen, aren't you so blessed that Jesus came through the highways and byways? He came down all the way to the hood that most people won't walk in at night after when the sun sets. He came looking for us. He came looking for me and you. Aren't you so blessed to know that? Why? Because he saw that you would praise him once he saved you. He saw it. I didn't see that quality. I'm sorry, I didn't. But he did. He saw that your life would count. He saw that your life has purpose. He saw beyond what you and I see in the natural. He saw the men and women that we would be today. He saw that your life would win souls to him. He saw that during times of trials and tribulation that you would still honor the King. He saw when people would come and get in your grill and yet you would just say, "Lord, I bless your name. I give you praise, glory, and honor. And that you would pray for them. Why? Because what did Jesus said on the cross? Father, they know not what they do. That's the same predicament that the world's in right now. Jesus came to save and seek those who were lost. How many are so blessed to know that he sought you? He sought you. Thank you, God. And some of them doubted. Some of them, you know, were discouraged, especially when he died and he was buried in the tomb. Oh, yeah. Who was the one that doubted? Thomas. But did you know, let me show you something here. Look at this. Now, Thomas, called the twin, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. The other disciples therefore said to him, we have seen the Lord. He said to them, unless I see his hands in the print of the nails and put my finger into the print of his nails and put my hand in his side, I will not believe. You know what? There's people today, until I see it, I won't believe it. God is saying, you cannot see it until you walk in faith. We walk in faith and not in what? In sight. But God did something for Thomas. You know why? Because he truly loved the Lord. He was just so dismayed. His life was so disrupted when Jesus died. He thought in his mind, I'm not going to see him again. He probably was thinking, man, all that he did for 3.5 years and he left us to see his death. You got to ask yourself tonight, how long have you been walking with God? And how many things has he promised you? God is saying, don't throw in the towel yet. Don't give up. Keep believing the promises that he has promised. Some of you are praying for sons and daughters to be saved. Some of you are praying for fathers and mothers to be saved. Some of you are praying for your coworkers to be saved. Some of you are saying, oh God, are you going to save them like you saved me? God is saying, hold on. Don't throw in the towel. He's not done yet. Don't give up on the Lord. Some of you have wayward husbands and wives. And I'm talking about those who are listening to this message, not necessarily here in our fellowship here. But God is saying, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not to your own understanding. Acknowledge him in all of your ways, and he shall what? Direct your path. As I close, I was invited Monday night to exhort pastors from different churches to pray and to come together for Brother Hidalgo, for Brother Juan. And I got a messenger that day. Oh, you're speaking. I said, oh, I am. I said, okay. As I shared earlier, you have to be ready in season and out of season. Amen. If you're called to preach, man, get somebody else. I'm saying this, though. As I, by the grace of God, was privileged to come before some of the pastors that was there to exhort them and to thank God for those who had invited me to come, God showed me the way to victory for him. Yes, we talked about, and I loved everything that Brother Juan said. He said, we need boots on the ground. We need workers to come alongside. And yes, that is all necessary. Because that's the practical thing. That's the natural thing to do. This is how it's set up in our nation, in our state. This is what you do. You do the practical thing. But what God showed me is that this is a David and Goliath situation here. Mr. Juan Vargas has been there for many years. This is why he doesn't come to the debates. This is why he don't come and share his values. Why? Because he believes that he has it already in the bank. He's got his P people that sow into the progressive left. And to me, they're basically anti-Christ, because everything that God says it's abhorrent, they embrace. So they're enemies to the cross. So God showed me as I was exhorting that this is a David and Goliath thing. And that Juan was, what he's there right now with the slingshot. But he showed me the key to his victory is the church needs to fast and pray for him. Fast and pray. That's the only thing that's going to pull down strongholds. People that have been entrenched in places. They're in high places, the Bible says. They're in high places. But the Bible tells us they're in high places in spiritual wickedness. So the strongholds need to be pulled down. I know I'm veering from the Bible study. I'm closing, but God is putting this on my heart right now to encourage the church to pray for righteous men and women that are coming into office, that their light would shine, that they would abolish abortion, that they would abolish the teaching of the transgenders in our schools, that God would take back what the enemy has stolen from you and I, that we would proclaim the heritage of the saints of God and the Word of God, that we would boldly proclaim. But if the pulpits are going to be silent, then I see God has opened up political doors so that righteous men and women will now come in and speak the things of God, because they have been given that platform, because the church is asleep. There's some churches that won't even mention the book of Revelation. But we all know that Jesus is coming. And this should be about souls being saved. Can I get an amen? And that by raising up righteous men and women, that God would hold back judgment. One day we're going to be judged. We don't know when that day will be. But if we keep going down that slippery slope, God will have to operate according to his word. Because if you look at every nation, every empire, every government that has been raised up throughout time, what was their demise? What happened to them? Just do a search on Rome and Turkey and the Ottoman Empire. What was their demise? They became immorally corrupt from within, and God had to bring enemies to come and destroy them. And so we need to be men and women of faith. Can I get amen? And if you, I understand you may not have time to go hold a sign, but you know what you can do is pray. Hallelujah. Can I get amen? Amen. It's pray. Pray for righteous men and women to raise up, and that strongholds will be destroyed. And so I want to encourage the body tonight to pray for that brother. You know, there's people that have come here, and you know, yeah, you know, I'm Republican or this and that. But you know what I want to see? I want to see the Spirit of God in you. I want to see that you boldly proclaim righteousness, that you stand on the Word of God, and that you are not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, for it's the power of God unto salvation, first to the Jews and then to us Gentiles. So pray for the brother. You know, as I get to know him a little more, I'm thankful that he has saw his call, and as he walks in faith, that he would be a David with that slingshot. Hallelujah. And when he lets that thing go on voting day, let it smack the enemy right in the forehead. Can I get an amen? And let that tumble down. And it'll be God and God all by himself. Can I get amen? Amen? And so let's pray. Father God, in Jesus' name, Lord, we thank you. We thank you for your goodness. We thank you for your mercy. And we thank you for your loving kindness, oh God. Lord, I thank you for this study tonight, God, because you showed me as I studied, God, Lord, that there was nothing good in us that we saw, but you saw that we would have a heart to worship and praise you, that we would have a heart like David, a heart that's after God's heart. We didn't see that, but you saw it. And the evidence is because we're here, because we're worshiping you and praising you and glorifying you, God. And so, Lord, I pray, Lord, for my brothers and sisters tonight, that you would strengthen us, that you would help us. Those right now are looking for jobs. Those right now are going through turmoil in family life. Those right now need a word from you, need wisdom from you, God, that needs your healing touch upon them. We continue to pray. Pray for evangelist Philippe Arellas, his wife, Aunt Therese. Tomorrow is diagnostic day, and they're going to let everyone know if she has cancer or not. And we come against the name of cancer. Jesus' name is above all names, and it's above the name of cancer. And so we bind and curse that disease right now in the name of Jesus. Lord, bless her. Let her have a good rest tonight. And Lord, let the outcome glorify you and magnify you. Hallelujah. And so, God, I'm praying, Lord, maybe there's someone here or maybe someone listening that's never surrendered their life to you. And all you have to do is take one step toward Jesus, a step of faith. He will pick you up and carry you the rest of the way. Allow him to quicken your spirit to "Here I am, Lord." And if you're listening right now and you've never surrendered to the Lord Jesus Christ, allow us to pray with you. Just know this, the prayer don't save you. It's not a magical formula. It's your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ that saves you. Prayer is just a tool that he's given to sinful mankind here on earth to communicate with the holy God in heaven. And so, pray this prayer and allow God to do the supernatural in your life. Pray this. Dear Lord Jesus, I thank you for my life. I do believe on your death, burial, and resurrection. I believe that you died for me. And the blood that you shed on the cross will cleanse me of all my sins. Lord Jesus, I ask you now, God, to forgive me for every sin. Come into my heart. Make me a new person in Christ Jesus. And from this day on, I will do my best to follow you and to honor you all the days of my life. In Jesus' name. Amen. Come on, give them a shout of praise. Hallelujah in the house. Thank you, God. Is he worthy? Oh, come on, man. I heard people clap louder, man, at last week's Charger loss. Come on. Give him glory. Give him honor and praise for what he's done in your life, what he's doing in your life, and what he's about to do in your life. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. We bless you, Lord. We magnify you, God. Oh, we glorify you, Jesus.
The Bible says, "Repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remissions of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you, and to your children, and to all that are afar off, as many as the Lord God will call." And that's our exhortation to you. We have many ministries available here for you at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. For a complete list of them and to download all of our messages and sermons, please log on to our website at www.acts2-38-39.com or email us at amazing_grace@cox.net. From all of us here at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship, may God bless you and thank you for listening. We give you the praise.